FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Today's show is brought to you by U.S. Gold Corp. U.S. Gold Corp. is a U.S.-focused gold exploration and development company advancing high-potential projects in Wyoming and Nevada. U.S. Gold Corp. has consolidated a district on Nevada's productive Cortex Trend and is advancing the Copper King project towards production in Wyoming. Led by a team of prolific company builders and renowned explorers, including Dave Mathewson, who is directly responsible for several major Nevada gold discoveries, U.S. Gold Corp. is well-capitalized and has an extremely tight share structure with less than 20 million shares outstanding and trades on the NASDAQ, a major exchange, under the ticker symbol USAU. To learn more, go to usgoldcorp.gold. That's usgoldcorp.gold.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 3/13/19. Well, stock market, it's hovering around that Dow 26,000 range. What does it mean? Well, we've seen consumer confidence at generational highs right now. And employment, well, it was a little disappointing in February, but it's still on the uptrend, interestingly enough. Probably February will be revised up. And auto sales down. You know, there's conflicting signals as to where the economy is going, and we'll explore that a little later. First, if you've got your opinion about where the economy is heading, we would love to hear from you. Be a part of the show and email us kl@kerrylutz.com. So Brad Williams is with us again, a noted finance expert. And Brad, it's great to have you on. Looking at these consumer confidence numbers, they seem to fly in the face of economic reality to somewhat, don't they?
Well, Kerry, I think you're right. We have had a 10 years of upward. Of course, the last 2 years have been real strong when it comes to jobs. Of course, the market, you know, for the 10 years, but the last 2 years for jobs. And I guess all those jobs that were manufacturing that were gone and never come back started coming back. So that is a positive sign. And in spite of 3 months decline, now consumer confidence is coming back up. So that's, you know, it's a good sign. Job anticipation is good. So there's a lot of positive things, but it is showing that when you're getting to the last legs, some of those signs.
Yeah, well, it looks like employment may very well have peaked, only up a measly 20,000 jobs in February. Although my guess is that they're going to revise it upward. Just my gut feel, but they always revise it. Yeah. So, but you know, like you said, we're really in 10 years into this bull market, and how much more can it go?
Well, it's long in the tooth. And when you look at cycles, you can mitigate some cycles. Give an example from 82 to 2000, we had the longest peacetime expansion we had, but that was related to productivity increases, computers coming online, the PC kicking in, just-in-time inventories. Productivity was, you know, skyrocketing, deregulation. There were a lot of things going on in that time period that caused that bull market to go longer than it normally does. And now we're at 10 years, but normally you're looking from 8 to 12 years is the typical bull market, and we're near the end of it.
Mm-hmm. So you don't think there's any getting away from the fact that, as they say in life, all good things must come to an end.
They've got to come to an end. It's the economy's like seasons. You've got all four of them, and we've got to go through that. You just can't have upward rising forever. It's going to come. We've got debt issues we got to deal with. I think some of the movements in the budget are good. I think one of the things we're seeing is the difference in the economy when you actually truly have a business person at the helm. Whatever somebody thinks of Donald Trump, he is trying to run the country like a business. And we are the largest corporation in the world. So there's some positive things in that. But there's a lot of baggage that comes with that, that, you know, that is inherent in a Congress that's somewhat unwilling and you know, certain states are wanting to tax us into oblivion.
Yeah, like they're doing it and people are voting with their feet. Although there was just some ridiculous article in one of these lefty publications that said, no, people really are moving to California, right? I mean, kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. All you got to do is look at the numbers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's amazing how divorced from reality and statistics some people are.
Yeah, well, there's lies, damn lies, and then there's statistics, as I think Churchill once said.
Right.
So
yeah. Now the problem you have when they're moving to lower tax states is that so often they bring the garbage that got the state in the problem it's in with them, and so you know, they want to vote the same way, and you just can't do that if you're going to go somewhere because it's got better environment, leave the environment alone.
Yeah. Well, hey, that you're asking basically people on the left to be rational. And I think we're past that point, don't you?
Yeah. Well, you know, putting it that way, I'd say I'd have to agree with you 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, getting to our subject here, consumer confidence, as I look around in my area, home sales are still doing good, and home prices are still going up. Their economic activity is good. The restaurants are still full. There's a lot going on. I think people are also, as I'm meeting with clients, they're starting to be more realistic about the fact that we are long in the tooth in this. And as I meet a new client, for example, the attitude of them is not that, hey, this is going to continue, but how can I position myself for when this stops? And that's a little different than it was in, say, 07. You had a lot of people that were just like, oh, this is going to continue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to continue forever, right? Because that's just the way it works. But we know basically that it doesn't continue forever. And so what's next?
Well, what's next is prepare yourself in your portfolio for when that change happens, and start de-risking and, you know, looking more into quality, maybe if you're getting close to retirement, income producing securities and assets. And that's one way to weather the storm. If you're going for growth all the time in your portfolio as a retiree, then you're going to be subject to the ups and downs of the market. So that's one piece of advice. There's always a good piece of advice, which is, you know, when you're making a job switch in this type of economy, just make sure you're making the right switch. Because if you're getting a good opportunity and it's late in the cycle, you don't have the seniority, you don't have some of that comfort that comes from being somewhere else a while. So, you know, be careful making a move this late in the cycle.
Yeah. So, and as far as your investments go, how do you de-risk them? What's the best way?
Well, looking at income producing securities, if you're at the retirement or in retirement, preferred stocks, things like that, things that have some stability, and really start taking a hard look at your portfolio and making sure you're not investing at 65 or 70 like you were at 40. And that's one problem that people have when we're in a cycle like this, is that, as you said, Gary, it's never going to end. So when it does end and the music stops and you find yourself standing without a chair, it's not a very comforting experience.
No, it's not at all. And that's really never the position you want to be in. And yet you never learn. It keeps on happening and happening, right? So what is the key to avoiding this? I mean, obviously you're dealing with emotions here, right, Brad? So How do you acquire the proper emotional state of affairs to avoid making the mistakes that you've made in the past?
I think being realistic and watching out for normalcy bias. You know, we all have a tendency to have a normalcy bias that if it's doing this now, it's going to continue. As I've gone through my investing years and I've watched my 401k quadruple, that's going to continue, that I need to start thinking, okay, I'm at a different stage now. For example, when you're looking at advisors, there's accumulation advisors and distribution advisors. I'm more aligned with distribution. And so working with the right advisor for the stage of life you're in, a lot of people don't realize, just like changing doctors, when you go from a pediatrician to an adult physician to someone who's a geriatric medicine. Well, advisors are the same way. You've got certain ones that have specialties in certain areas. And sometimes it pays to look around and maybe make a switch once you make that change into another phase of your life.
Uh-huh. So whereas you're very happy with 20%+ annual returns over the past 10 years, you need to adjust your expectations to a more realistic number?
That's correct. I think one of the prime examples of that would be 20-something years ago, I was working very heavily in the long-term care arena, and I met with a guy who said, I don't need long-term care insurance. I'm getting 15 to 18% of my portfolio year, and that'll pay for any expenses. Well, that was in 1999. Okay, and we all know what happened in 2000. So a different story 2 years later. So it's all about expectations and making sure you're not falling victim to, as I said, normalcy bias. Sometimes you got to do, as Zig Ziglar used to say, a checkup from the neck up. You got to step back and go, okay, what am I missing here?
Yeah.
And then go get a second opinion and go meet with someone who's specialty and interview them. Ask them the hard questions. Where's your, where is your focus? What are you good at? And then align yourself with someone who has your values and understands your goals and is on the same track as you.
Yeah, well, these things are difficult because generally, just like our political system, you as an individual don't want to change, don't want to do things until you absolutely have to, right? So you're really in a pickle, if you will, because that normalcy bias, things, however things are now, that's the way they're supposed to be. And then when things change, you're not ready for it. And then what happens?
Then you're standing there wondering where all the chairs went, Gary. And yeah. That's not a comfortable place to be.
Yeah,
so especially when you've made some decisions and you want to retire, say, 2 years from now or whatever. Mm-hmm. And now you're sitting and saying, okay, I think I'm going to need to stick around another 5 years or so. Mm-hmm. And so those kind of things really are important. And I think if I could paint your listeners a kind of a mental picture, if you look at your financial life like climbing a mountain, you've got you're ascending to the peak, and that's the accumulation stage. And then you got when you're going down, that's the distribution stage. And most deaths on those mountain climbs happen on the way down. People are tired, they make mistakes. But then there's something people don't talk about, and that's the preservation stage right there at the top, where you start reevaluating. All right, this is what I did to get here. Now, how can I go down and make sure that, in this case, I don't run out of money before I run out of life? And that takes a different financial approach than it did to get you to the peak.
Sure. And then you got to say, hey, maybe I wasn't that smart here. Maybe I was just really, really lucky. And maybe now my luck has come to an end. And maybe that's the reason why you need to really look yourself squarely in the face and say, I got lucky once. Am I going to be lucky again? And if not, what will happen? And what should I do? So, because like we both know here that, Brad, that a lot of what happened in this past bull market here, really your success or failure had not much to do with you, right?
That's right. The trends were up. It was, if you really look at it, it was largely, at least for several years, a result of zero interest rates where, you know, people were evaluating where to put their money and they couldn't get the 5% CDs they were used to in 2007. And so they're going in the market to chase yield and take on risks they never would have. And it's because, you know, CD was paying half or 1%. And so they're going in the market. And so there's a lot of money that got shoved into the market for people who just needed yield on it. And as we're getting near the end of that, when the market does start to turn, the problem is there's so many more people, retirees, for example, in the market, that when the movement away from the market starts as interest rates rise, it may astound you.
I think you're right. It went up as fast as it went up. It could go down, right?
That's true. And history teaches us that it does.
Yes.
I mean, it really does.
We've seen
Look at all the market cycles. They tell you similar traits.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Very, very true. So I guess there's a word to the wise there. Adjust, change your evil ways before it is too late, sinner, or you will wind up paying the price for it, right?
That's exactly right. And I think, Kerry, a good analogy would also be, you know, I'm in the land of football. I'm in Alabama. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're in the fourth quarter of your life and there's 8 minutes left on the clock and you're two touchdowns ahead, why on earth are you throwing long passes? You need to be grinding out down the middle, getting reasonable yardage and burning the clock.
Yeah. Yep. Very, very true. So, you know, time to end, you know, could very well be time to punt. So get the proper team on the field to see to it that that this is going to happen the right way and you are going to do the right thing. And, you know, it's hard to do. Let's face it. It's really difficult to do all this. We're talking it's so easy.
I mean, that when you've got to change something, it is hard.
Very difficult. So anyway, Brad, where do we find you these days on the web?
Well, if you got a financial question, you just ask bradwilliams.com. So go to my website, askbradwilliams.com.
Cool. And we'll have a link, as always, in the show notes to your site. And while you're there, take a look at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Sign up for our newsletter. Just got one going out like right this minute, titled Bad Manners Equals Bad Politics. Little thing about the demise of manners and common courtesy in our society. And the Twitter feed's at Kerry Lutz, the Facebook page Financial Survival Network. And you're watching on YouTube, listening on a podcast, why don't you subscribe, like, and share? It really helps me a lot when you do that. Helps get great ideas out there like the ones you just heard from Brad Williams. Brad, we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks as always.
Oh, thank you for having me, Kerry. It's always a pleasure.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.